Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and some great tips from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk again with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, but this time about fish stocking. And then lastly, we've got some late fall tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide, Kyle Sorensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Make sure you're ready to conquer fall and winter by custom ordering your new Polaris side-by-side or ATV today at Hayward Powersports. Get work done in record time in a Polaris Ranger with features like an electronic cargo box lift and VersaTrak turf mowing. Polaris Razor is the choice for thrill-seeking adrenaline junkies everywhere. And the Polaris General is the world's most comfortable and powerful crossover machine. All three have exclusive features for gadget lovers, including the 7-inch ride command display with GPS navigation and group ride feature that allows you to sync with others in your group to keep communication and pace. Plus, the soundtrack to make your ride even more epic is delivered through a Rockford Fosgate audio system. And ATV purists, don't forget about the machine that started it all, the legendary Polaris Sportsman. To ensure the quickest delivery, come see us and get yours ordered today at Hayward Powersports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
See Hayward Powersports for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. I'm talking to Jarrett McCarthy. And Jarrett, good to have you on the show here. And you can tell us about what's going on out there.
It's good to be back. We got a little bit of everything going on out there. We're catching some fish and seeing some deer come down. So very active out there.
I know you spend a bunch of time out there when you can, too. You love to fish. And I don't know, you just made a big trip over into Minnesota even, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. Got over there. We got some trout out of one of the little designated lakes. Went and got some really nice walleyes, or should I say my wife did, and I just stand back and watched. So, yeah.
You bet. Well, congratulations on the trip and everything else. And let's talk about what's going on here in Hayward. You hear much on walleye fishing right now. I know I've been seeing some pretty decent walleye fishing out there on some lakes.
Yeah, walleye fishing's been good. Seems like fish are still out deep. They're on those deeper structures, those deeper humps, those deeper weed edges, and we're seeing a lot of guys get some quality fish on some live bait out there.
What do you recommend for live bait on the bigger sucker minnows?
Bigger sucker minnows, yeah. You're definitely trying to, I wouldn't say finesse, but those fish are looking for a bigger bait this time of year. And if you could put one of those bigger walleye suckers down there, they've got their feed bag on. They're ready to eat and they're ready to, munch on something you put in front of them. But make sure you got the right presentation.
You bet. Presentation is everything, because I see a lot of people out there, but I've been out there, that are really jigging hard and jigging quick, and they're jumping that jig around. And, I've been seeing best of all either dragging a Lindy rig or dragging a jig and just dragging it on the bottom in short strokes.
And that's what we were doing. We were using a 4 or 5 foot fluorocarbon leader. We had the smallest of circle hooks on there. We pinned the walleye suckers right through the lips, and all we do is slowly drag that on. And we had fish pick that bait up. You'd feed them for a minute or two and you'd reel back on you. You don't need much to set the hook on those fish, especially if they're taking a bigger bait in, but you got to let those fish take time to get that bait in. And don't really need to jerk it real hard this time of year. Fish are, as the water gets cooler, the fish are going to get a little bit more inactive, but they're in food mode right now.
And they're still active enough, especially on some days. Some days are better than others, but trolling is an option too. Running some deeper baits running down there, because a lot of these walleyes are in that 20, 25, 30 foot range right now.
Yeah, they really are. And trolling is a good way to, go through, pin the active fish that you've got in there, and then you mark those schools, come back to them, and then do a little bit of finesse fishing with the live bait.
You know, historically, not a lot of trolling in northern Wisconsin. We've got a trolling available now. And for people that haven't done it before, you guys can give them some information. You've got a good supply of trolling stuff that we need for trolling here, too, at the store.
We really do. And we've got some good advice, too. Every lake is a little bit different. We've got some advice for different lakes, you know, clear water, dirty water, what your main depth is that you're going to be running, and kind of what colors you're going to be looking for, so...
Let's talk about panfish. Crappie fishing has been good. I've been doing pretty good on crappies. I'm sure a lot of other people have, too.
Yep. Been hearing a lot of people having success out on cribs, out on deeper structure. Crappies are out roaming, but they're definitely there for the taking.
Muskies. A lot of guys are up here after muskies this time of year. And it took the cooling down to get these muskies going, but now they're going.
Yep, it really did. I mean, just last week, we had temps in the mid-70s here still, and we're finally starting to see, you know, some freezing temperatures at night. Temps are in the mid 40s now. Those lakes, they're not quite at turnover point yet, but as the waters cool down, that musky bite will get better and better.
And northern pike fishing's actually gotten pretty good too.
Oh yeah, northern pike fishing has been really good up here. You know, a lot of fish coming on live bait and mixed with the walleyes or what have you. Fish are still somewhat deep. They're getting them in weeds or getting them on those deeper structures with the walleyes, but pike fishing has been very good.
You hearing anything on the bass fishing out there?
Absolutely nothing. Doesn't seem like we have anybody targeting bass. Obviously there are people out there targeting bass right now, but haven't had anything come through the shop lately.
Let's talk about the hunting seasons. The hunting's open here, and we're pushing closer to that rut. That'll be a few weeks now, a couple of weeks probably, and we'll be looking at a lot more deer activity out there.
Yeah, we're going to have people getting out in the woods looking for the 30-point buck.
I don't know if such a critter really exists, but I'm sure there's some pretty big ones out there. The big ones are the smart ones, though.
Yeah, they don't get big for being dumb out there.
That's pretty much true with all critters, including big fish. Big fish don't make mistakes very easy either. As far as the hunting supplies and stuff, you guys got pretty much anything a guy wants?
Yeah, we've got just about everything. You know, we've got your scents, we've got some calls. We've got just about anything you're looking for when you're ready to get out into the woods.
Ice fishing. I don't want to talk about that yet, but I'm going on a little bit because we're only, maybe three, four weeks away from some of the first ice fishing. We don't know what the weather's going to do, but you guys are right now got the shop tore apart. You're setting up all the ice fishing stuff and you're going to have shacks and everything else.
Oh, yeah. We are excited. Well, I'm excited. I'm ready to get some ice on lakes. We got, you know, shacks coming in. We got jig poles. We got augers. We got everything you're going to be looking for early ice. You know, your cleats, your picks, or what have you. Hand warmers, anything else that you're looking for ice, but we got a good selection. We're ready to help you get onto the ice safely early season.
Well, I kind of look forward to it, too, getting out ice fishing. The only problem is, as you get older, wading around in that snow is more of a problem, but I kind of beat that. I either take a Polaris Ranger out there, a big skidoo, and, you know, makes it easier to get around rather than wading through all that snow.
You're darn right.
You bet. Anything new in the ice fishing market this year we could talk about real quick?
Let's see. I know Jiffy's come out with a brand new auger this year. I believe they've got, I think it's an 80-volt auger coming out, so, you know, your traditional Strike Master that you've seen over the last couple of years. You've had a 24 and you've had a 40 volt. Jiffy's coming out with an 80 this year. Aside from that, we haven't seen too much roll in yet, no.
Well, you know, and that electric auger thing is really taken off, and I know I pretty much went to an electric drill auger with a DeWalt drill. I mean, that's about all I use anymore. I've got gas augers, but, you know, you can cut the holes in there. It's so much easier to carry around and move around, and all the electric augers are.
Oh, yeah. You know, I made the switch to electric a couple of years ago, and I went with a Strike Master or what have you, but it's so nice not to have to worry about gas anymore, you know, mixing anything. You take those batteries out, and, you know, even in cold temps, those batteries work just fine, especially if you keep them warm or keep them right next to you. But you get so many holes out, and it's made, hole drilling and searching fish so much easier.
You bet. And now I got everything at live sonar and stuff. If you can find the stuff now this year, everything seems to be hard to get.
It's just about as hard to find as the fish.
You bet. Well, Jared, I want to thank you for coming on here and sharing all that information with our listeners.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got yet another interview with our local DNR biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of musky, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also carry archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, scents, tree stands, and much more. Gear up for hunting and fishing at Hayward Bait and Bottle, And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sporting bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hit the water next spring in the boat you've always wanted by ordering it today at Hayward Power Sports. New inventory has been impossible to find, but if you order yours by August 28th, the factory will have it ready by spring. Sit down with one of our knowledgeable staff and let them help you build the perfect boat. We offer Tracker, America's number one selling aluminum fishing boat, or choose a Lund. No boat brand holds their value better. We also sell Sun Tracker, the world's best-selling pontoon, and Bennington pontoons, the height of luxury and style. See us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, last week we had our local DNR biologist, Max Walter, on here talking about lots of different things out there. And this week we've got him on here again, but this week we're going to be talking about stocking fish in some of our area waters around here.
We're talking to our local Wisconsin DNR biologist from Hayward here, Max Walter. And Max, we talked about a bunch of stuff on one of the shows here. And one of the things we talked about was walleye recruitment, walleye stocking. What can you tell us about the stocking? I mean, it's stocking is not as effective as natural reproduction. We've talked about that. But what can you tell us about the stocking efforts and stuff?
Yeah, so, you know, we stock basically two species widely in the Hayward area, and that's walleye and muskie. We don't stock them everywhere. Sometimes folks are disappointed to hear their lake's not getting stocked. But if your lake's not getting stocked with walleye, it's probably because they're still reproducing pretty well on their own, which is, like you mentioned, the preferred status. You're going to get more walleye out of a naturally reproducing fishery. Unfortunately, we don't have as many of those fisheries that are still doing that natural reproduction, and so then we got to step in and stock. We have a lot of resources to do that right now through the Walleye Initiative. That's a pot of money that's made available so that our hatcheries have more capacity. And we're putting these out there, you know, on a lot of lakes across the area that don't have reproduction but can support walleye. And we're doing different stocking rates, so there's kind of an experimental component to this. Obviously, we're stocking a lot of different types of lakes. Some are really small, some of them are huge. And then we're evaluating all that, and that's a big thing that'll be going on. It kind of started this year, and it'll be going on over the next 5 years, is going into all these lakes that we've stocked, doing an estimate of how many adult walleye are out there so that we can get some sort of measure of stocking success to that ultimate size. You know, we can measure how many of them make it to age one, but those are only 8 to 10 inch fish. That doesn't interest anglers a lot. So we need to kind of measure the end point, which is what kind of an adult fishery are we able to create through stocking. And one thing we see is it varies a lot from one lake to the next.
What is the growth rate on walleyes, for example?
Yeah, good question. So that also varies, you know, depending on how productive the lake is and things like that. So a really fast-growing lake in our area, you might get adult walleye to 18 inches in about 4 or 5 years. So we see that, like, on Big Shetak, super productive fishery, very successful stocked fishery. They grow really well. Some of the other ones, the growth rate's going to be a lot slower, and they might only make it to 15 inches in 4 or 5 years. And that's around when they're going to hit sexual maturity. That would be more like the Chippewa Flowage, which has a little higher density. Another example of a lake that doesn't have a lot of productivity and even slower growth rates would be Moose Lake, which I know you know well, John.
Right.
And there we see 4 or 5 year olds that are only 12 inches long, maybe 13 inches. So a lot of variation from one lake to the next, and the factors that lead to the variation in growth are how productive the lake is, which dictates how much food's out there, and then how many walleye are out there. So how many other brothers and sisters are they sharing that food with?
One of my friends from Minnesota guides over there, he made a comment, and I don't know if that holds true here or not, but he said over there that once a walleye gets to be about 19 inches, their growth rate dramatically slows down, where they grow very little, it takes a lot of years to grow after that point.
Yeah, that's generally true, and really of most fish species. You know, their growth starts to slow down as soon as they hit adult maturity, and then it just kind of continues to slow down over time. So while a walleye might be adding 2 or 3 inches of growth in its first few years of life, later in life, once it gets into that upper teens or certainly into the 20s, it might only be adding 3/4 of an inch or even 1/2 an inch in some cases, because they're not putting as much into growing their body. They're putting a lot of effort into producing eggs every year. So
a 25 to 28-inch walleye is a pretty old critter then.
That's an old critter, yeah. I'd say that's 15 years old in a lot of cases, especially around here.
You bet. Well, you know, we're talking about the walleye thing and stocking. You know, you've got different ways of stocking, too. The original way they stocked was to stock all the fry and stuff, and then you now went to what's called extended growth walleyes in a lot of cases.
Yeah, yep, and there was kind of a step in between, too. So fry stocking was the big thing early on, and that was the way that they actually introduced walleye into a lot of the lakes up here, was bringing milk cans of fry, and off they go. Fry stocking can be successful in certain situations. You're going to put millions of them out there and hope that a fraction of a percent are going to survive. Later on, the DNR went to small fingerling stocking, which is a walleye that's, you know, 1.5 to maybe 2.5 inches long. They basically hatch them from eggs, keep them in ponds for a short period of time, and then get them out there around the time they'd start feeding on minnows. Over time, we started seeing a little less survival of those small fingerlings, and so that's where the large fingerlings came into the picture. So those are the 6 to 8 inch ones that we stock now. They are more expensive to raise because you have to feed them minnows in the hatchery ponds and hold them all the way through the summer. But they can have better survival on a per fish basis than either of those smaller sizes. And it gets them around, potentially, some of the predation issues that can be out in the lakes. So we use those large fingerlings a lot. That's kind of the centerpiece of the walleye initiative. There is still some small fingerling stocking that happens. For example, this year we had some small fingerlings available, and we put them into a couple lakes just to kind of give them a shot and see how they do. We put some into Lake Hayward and to the Tiger Cat Flowage. They got small fingerlings. But large fingerlings are what we're using on a majority of our lakes right now.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, you know, the expensive. Is there going to be funding for that available with all this stuff that we see going on nowadays?
Oh, goodness. I have no ability to comment on that. Who knows? I'm in charge of the biology, not the budgets. But, the nice thing about our area, John, is we've seen that when funding hasn't been available for stocking these through the agencies, we have a lot of private groups that are willing to step up. And so we've had great partnerships on a number of different lakes. You know, I'll just name a few, but Nelson Lake had a great stocking program before the walleye initiative. Chippewa Flowage has done it when that lake has needed it. We have a really active, awesome partner group in the winter area, the Winter Lakes Alliance, and they stock a couple lakes down there annually. So, I'm confident that in the near future, especially, lakes that need walleye or lakes that are going to have success with walleye stocking, we'll have the resources available between everybody working together.
Well, let's talk a little bit about muskie stocking.
Yeah.
Muskie stocking, that's an important factor up here, too, on a lot of lakes, because our reproduction is not always there like it used to be.
Right. Yeah, so muskie stocking is interesting. In almost all cases, it's what I would call supplemental. So we're stocking, even in water bodies that have some amount of reproduction, to try to keep the density of muskies up to a level where anglers are satisfied, hopefully, where they're seeing enough fish to feel like it's worthwhile to go out there and cast. If we didn't stock, I think the lakes would still have muskies at some lower level, but it may not be to the point where folks want to go out and fish for them. So we do a lot of that supplemental type stocking. We have some lakes that, you know, have this incredible muskie pedigree, and we want to keep them going or even rebuild them in some cases. So we're focusing a lot of stocking effort on Lacouture Ray and we're pretty pleased with some of the successes we've had in the last 5 years out there. We do some stocking on the chipple flowage because there's so much musky fishing interest out there. And then, you know, we do a lot of other lakes in the area too. You know, we know some of these lakes, if you can get them out there, they can grow really well. So like a grindstone or a round lake or a whitefish lake, those all have that forage base, but they don't have a whole lot of reproduction. So doing some stocking, even if it's not massive numbers, if you can get a few of those fish through, you can grow some really nice ones.
Well, I know you get a lot of help there, too, from different groups like Muskies Inc. and stuff, too, sometimes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Muskies Inc. chapter's awesome. They raise a lot of funds. They're very generous about supporting many different types of projects and really anything associated with muskie stocking they've gotten involved in. So they're buying extra feed for some of the fish at the hatchery and spooner to get them bigger before they go out in our lakes. They're buying tags and scanners and stuff so we can track the survival of these fish. Other you know, equipment for the hatchery, you know, they bought microscopes so we can look at larvae and egg development. They've bought feeders for when we're feeding pellets and all that. So there's just a ton of great work happening there. And I know that they would stock fish on their own too, you know, if they were available through a private grower and there was a need, they're ready to step up and do anything, and that's awesome to have.
You know, we talked about natural reproduction there, but what do you think might be one of the biggest threats to our natural reproduction up here? Would it be the northern pike in these smaller waters?
I think that's a huge one. Yeah, I really do. I've given whole, you know, presentations on this in the past, but, you know, most of our musky lakes, almost all of them in this particular Hayward Lakes area, did not have pike historically. So it was much easier for muskies to reproduce when they didn't have that competitor. Now that we have pike as a part of the picture, and in some cases really dense pike populations, there's just not as much room in the fishery for muskies. And it's tougher to sneak those little fingerlings through when they have that competition and predation threat. So that is something we've looked at and worked on. You know, other factors are just changes to habitat. Muskie are fairly sensitive to development. They're not going to spawn successfully under docks and boat lifts. They need kind of wild, undeveloped bays and marshy type areas to have good egg survival. And they also need good oxygen back there, which can change too if a lake gets more nutrients in it and stuff like that. So they're sensitive, unfortunately. They're not the toughest fish in the world, but gosh, we do love them. So we're working really hard to try to make sure we continue to have healthy populations.
Well, you know, some of the lakes, when you look at some of the big lakes, Minnesota and Canada and stuff, where you have very viable populations of muskies as well as northern pike, but you're dealing with a lot bigger waters with more suitable areas for spawning, and you'll have pike in one area and it seems like muskies in another. And we just don't, maybe it's just we don't have enough area on these smaller waters for that.
I think that's right. I think that's a good way of putting it, is on the larger lakes, they can do more what I would call habitat partitioning, where, you know, there's enough good stuff that the pike are going to find the things they really like, the muskies are going to find the things they really like, and they don't have to overlap as much. That's different when you're looking at an 800-acre lake where there maybe really only is one great spawning bay that's suited for those species. So you're going to have a lot more overlap there. I think, I don't have all the data to support this, but I would imagine that we have probably a higher pike density per acre than most of those types of lakes you're talking about, the big Canadian lakes and stuff like that. So the competition might be a little bit more intense from that standpoint as well.
Right, and I also think that where you see pike population densities lower, you tend to see more bigger pike than you do all these little hammer handles.
Exactly, and that's why so many times over the years when we're talking about this pike issue, I say, you know, we need to harvest small pike, not just for the sake of the muskies, but for the sake of the pike themselves. If we want to catch bigger pike, we got to keep their densities down, and, you know, angling harvest is potentially one way for that to happen.
Eat lots of pickled pike, then.
Eat lots of pickled pike. I do. I love them. It's an abundant resource that's out there for harvest. But just to kind of finish the stocking conversation, you know, this year we're putting fish out from eggs we got out of Lacouta Ray. Our hatchery team did quite well out there this year. They caught a bunch of muskies and got the eggs they needed, brought them back to the hatchery. We were just there last week tagging a bunch of them that are going to go into Lacouta Ray. The size was fantastic, and I give our Muskies Inc. chapter credit for contributing toward that. So, you know, we're putting out a bunch of 14 and 15-inch muskie fingerlings. They're massive. I don't even know if we can call them fingerlings anymore. They're about as big as my wrist. We might have to call them wristlings or armlings at this point. They don't look anything like a finger, but we hope they'll do well. And as I mentioned, we're putting them out into some other lakes too. We're going to do grindstone round, Sisabagama, whitefish, and sand this year with those fingerlings we got out of the Couderay. And then they'll be going to other parts of the Northwest as well.
Well, interesting that you mentioned that growth rate, because I think a lot of fish had a really good year for growth rate this year, because there was lots of bug hatches, lots of forage out there in the lakes, and it looks like you're going to have a longer growing season from what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, yes. Optimal musky growth is around the low 70s. So even the high 60s, they should continue to do pretty well. And as we know, the temperature hung up there for a long time into fall here. So yeah, hopefully they continue to pack it on, and we can see some big fish.
Well, Max, very informative as usual. I want to thank you much for coming on here and sharing that information with all the people up here.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine folks that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got even more on your outdoors, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales, with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases, with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And on this part of the show, we've got some really good late fall fishing tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. Talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen, and Kyle, you know, past the turnover, we're going late fall. A lot of people won't be out there fishing, but, you know, whether you're after muskies or walleyes, a lot of the times some of that deeper water patterns are more the more effective thing.
Yeah, and you know, everyone obviously knows that jigging is a good tactic, but I think an underutilized thing is deep crankbaits. I usually throw a lot of deep crankbaits around this time of the year.
You know, and you can catch muskies. I've caught muskies extremely deep in the fall. You got to be careful when you do that, and walleyes included, but you can catch them. They can be anywhere in a lake.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend fishing too terribly deep, more than, you know, 35 feet of water, but anything shallower than that, whether you're counting down a big rubber bait or whether you're jigging or whether you're fishing with deep crankbaits, there's a lot of fish to be caught.
And the one thing to concentrate on is the areas that drop off the quickest, the hardest dropping shorelines and bars that drop off quick off them.
Yeah, a lot of that deep structure is definitely overlooked, and there are some big fish that show up on those pieces.
You bet. You know, especially that, you know, come off that shoreline and where the lake tapers out, you hit the bottom where it starts to taper out, that's usually a transition soft or hard bottom to soft to bottom, and that's the actual route a lot of times these fish will move along that area.
Yeah, and you'll notice if you drive around with your graph on any time at all, you'll notice that the bait follows that, and of course the muskies do too.
Yeah, in the fall especially, you're looking for the bait.
Yeah, absolutely. The muskies definitely don't want to spend any more energy than they have to, so they kind of follow the bait around.
Well, Kyle, I want to thank you. You want to give out your guide information? Somebody look for a guide?
Yeah, absolutely. You can give me a call at 715-558-8911.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.